but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
I think we're still trying to find our identity completely. You know, I think we could be super well-rounded and run the ball very well, of course, with Hank back there at running back, and having a strong run game will open up the pass game and play action pass and all those type of things. So I think we're just trying to find a way to balance all that and put it in a way where everyone can eat, because we have good players all over the offense, and it's one of those things where we can all win if we do it right. So I'm super excited for the future of our offense and how we've been practicing so far. I think we have a very high ceiling.
That's Malik Murphy, the transfer quarterback that will suit up on Saturday as Oregon State prepares for a scrimmage at Reser Stadium. Here to talk about it, offensive coordinator Ryan Gunderson. You're hearing your QB talk like that. You approve of what he's saying there, Coach?
I approve. It passes the test. I think he's saying the right stuff.
Good. Good, good. Everybody's got to eat. When did that start? When you were a player, were guys saying, we want everyone to eat? Or when did that pick up in your coaching career?
I don't know. It changes just about every year or two. You know, there's new words and lingo. We got to ask them. You got to pull somebody aside and say, what does that mean? if I tried to keep track of all of it, I'd be spending way too much time on it.
Give us an idea, when Malik comes into the program, how much does it open up new things that you can do, or maybe change what you can do as a coordinator?
Yeah, I think, part of being a coordinator is, as a former quarterback and somebody who kind of sees the game through that lens, you want to tailor what you do to whatever that player's strengths are. And so opening up new things, we've got all the plays. We've got the ability to do all that stuff. It's what fits his style, what fits his strengths, and what does he like? Same thing with Jabari. What are his strengths? And let's tailor what we do when he's in there to what those guys are good at and what they feel comfortable with. We want them playing fast and confident, so you kind of tailor it to them, and then you try to get creative and say, so that you can do more things that are challenging for a defense, but hey, this is just the same as that, and make it really simple for them, but also at the same time really try to be challenging for defenses.
The feel that a quarterback has at the position is so important. We look at it from the press box or from the stands and we see, oh, he looks comfortable, but you're a coordinator and you've walked in those shoes as a QB. How do you develop that feel and that comfort that comes with, I guess maybe it just comes with time and experience, but how do you help a guy develop that?
Well, you're right. It's time, it's experience, it's reps, it's, you got to spend your calories somewhere, and that's, what you're going to spend it on, the core of your offense and what you're good at. There's also, and I would say it's the most challenging thing in the evaluation process, especially of quarterbacks, is there's always an it factor to everything. And that's confidence, it's personality, it's just guys that aren't afraid of the moment. It's mental toughness, it's all those things. So I think some guys have it and some guys don't. And some guys, aren't scared of making a mistake, and some guys are really scared of making a mistake. So Malik is one of those guys that he's not really afraid of anything. He's willing to try everything. He's also willing to tell me what he likes and what he doesn't like. And it's, you know, when you can have a real open conversation, an honest conversation and communication line with the quarterback, when you can tell them, hey, I want you to do this, and they understand it, and you don't have to over-explain it, you don't have to over-teach it, there's a ton of value in that. So that's been he's really fun to work with. I've got a really good room right now in terms of guys that are eager and hungry and want to go out there and compete and have kind of that it factor to them when they're behind center.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a greater sign of the times than – you know, you getting Malik Murphy finally. You know, when he came on our show, we talked about how many times you had recruited him in the past, and, you know, he went to Texas, and then he went to Duke, and he said 1,000% his comfort with you was 1,000% one of the reasons that he went to Oregon State. How did you approach that? Because, you know, a lot of times if you don't get a guy, you know, some coaches take it personally, and they'll be like, ah, forget him, he didn't want me, you know. But you seem to have left that door open a couple of times.
Yeah, I just think when there's usually never any ill will, bad feelings when everybody is just clear and honest. You know, like you go through the recruiting process and you tell people what it is. You tell people the situation you're in. That you tell people, you know, this is our timeline. This is what we're doing. It's hard for them to hold any ill, you know, any negative opinions of you, you know, when it all comes back around. And geez, I mean, I would, that's kind of the world that I was at San Jose State for 4 years. Like there's a huge part of you, you know, when you're at a place, you know, when I was there that it was, hey, we're not going to get this kid, but I'm going to offer him. You never know what's going to come back around. You never know how this is going to work in 3 or 4 years. So you don't want to burn any of those bridges. And like, that's with recruits, it's with quarterback trainers, it's with high school coaches, it's with everybody. And it's hard for people to ever come back to you and say, well, I'm never sending my kid to that guy, if you handle it with honesty.
I love that. I love the approach of it. Did you think you were, you know, the third time's the charm? Or as you're having that conversation, are you like, hey, we've been here twice before?
Well, anymore, that December... You really just December period is, that's pretty much day to day, maybe hour to hour. You know, the story can flip on its head so fast. It's such a roller coaster. And so that, I mean, there was a while where I thought, geez, this isn't going to work out, just the timeline again. Cause you just don't want to get stuck when you're in that situation. Like a game of musical chairs, you don't want to not have a chair. But you got to try to get the best chair you can. So it's just constant conversation, communication, trying to figure out what these people are doing. So you know, you're trying to leverage situations and figure out, you know, what's best for this program and what puts us in the best spot. Sometimes you catch a break and you're in the right place at the right time, and just the timing worked out. So that was really kind of how it worked out for us. When it came together, I felt really good about it, just because I knew that he knew me. I knew that we had been straight with him. I knew the relationship was good. And I know, you know, people surrounding him that have trust in me and faith in me. So I think there's that trust comes from a lot of different angles for sure.
I think we all now have a greater understanding of kind of some of the shady stuff that had gone on historically in college football. But I am watching this era, and I am awfully concerned about what is happening with NIL and the portal. 10,000 players in the portal. Guys, you know, Cal loses 5 running backs into the portal. You know, there's stuff that's going on that makes no sense with some schools and some backroom dealings. How challenging is that for not just you, but coaches in general, to have to deal with sort of the sands shifting beneath your feet all the time?
Yeah, and I would say, you know, there's a lot of it that I don't like either, but, you know, this is the bed we've made. I'm saying we is, you know, everybody's got a little bit of blame in the whole thing. And anybody that says they don't is lying or just doesn't want to admit it. But there is an element that I've you know, you kind of come to grips with over time of you just do really well where you're at, and you don't worry about the next piece of it, especially the stuff you can't control. That being said, I really believe the honesty and telling the truth and coaching these kids hard and saying, hey, your goals are my goals. But you got to kind of recruit these kids every day. Even the ones you have, you're recruiting kids outside the program, but you're recruiting these guys every day to prove to them that this is the best place for them, that I'm the best person for them, that I care more about anybody else, and that I'm going to get them to where they want to be. Sometimes it doesn't work out, but you put everything into it that you have, where you're at, and you know, control what you can control, and you let, you know, the people that are making the decisions in terms of the hierarchy figure out how we're going to sort this whole thing out and make it clean, which you tell me, is that going to happen or not? I don't know.
I don't know either.
It just doesn't look great right now.
I wonder, do you think it changes how you coach or how you manage a practice with reps? Because especially now, spring portal window's open. You want everybody that you believe in to feel important, right? But you have a limited number of reps in practice, and there is a hierarchy. You know, do you have to be more mindful of that as a coach?
Yeah, I mean, but the team is always at the forefront. We want the guys here that are going to, you know, that fit the team that we want to be, the people that we want in this program. And, you know, you want to make sure that they understand their value. There's also those guys that could, you know, maybe they're going to play some here and they would rather play more elsewhere. I think if you can have real honest conversations with them that, you know, that they're a really valuable part of this program, I think that's really important. And that this is the best place for them to develop and focus on their craft and their future. You know, do you have to handle it differently? Yes, but at the end of the day, if you can tell yourself that, hey, I was honest with this kid, I coached him hard, I had his best interest in mind, you just got to pour yourself into that. And we surround ourselves with, you know, people in this building, but they spend a finite amount of time in this building every day. There's influences outside of them. You just try to insulate them with people around them that are giving them that same message. And it's, you know, there's some stuff that happens. There's always people that can squeeze through the cracks and start laying, you know, seeds of negativity or, you know, that might encourage them to transfer, but that's the world we live in now. And, all it takes is one person to tell a kid what he wants to hear.
Right.
And it can completely flip a kid's worldview.
Ryan Gunderson is our guest, Oregon State's offensive coordinator. Spring game at Reser Stadium on Saturday. The gates open at 11 a.m. Team will begin warming up at 11:30. Noon start. What time do you get to the stadium, or when do you get to the coaching offices on a spring game? On Saturday, what time will you show up for work?
You know, we're usually in here at 6 to 6:30 in the morning. We start a little later on Saturdays, so it'll probably be around 7:30. But, you know, you look over the practice scripts and practice plans and what you got to get done and get ready for your meetings and make sure, you know, your presentations are looking good for the guys. So it's... We love it. It's fine. I mean, I get to wear sweatpants to work, John. It's pretty good. I'm not complaining about this.
I love it. You'll be out there, and you'll get a chance to kind of maybe start to shape the identity of this team. I know it starts in practices, and then it really starts in the fall. But, you know, what do you want to do? What do you want to do with this offense? Because I felt like last year, and I'm going to say it so you don't have to say this, but I felt like you guys were a little limited by personnel in year one, and I think that happens when a new regime comes in and you've lost a lot of players and there's a lot of parts in motion. But now I think you're starting to get some of the guys that maybe you can do some of the stuff you want to do. What kind of identity do you want to have on offense?
Yeah, I think we want to be balanced. We want to be able to do both, and we want to, you know, to me, you're able to do both, but it has to be tailored to who your best players are and who the guys are that have the best ability to create explosive plays for you. You know, we've got a very good running back. We've got multiple really good receivers. I really, really like our tight end room. So I do feel really good about where we're at, and I think Malik gives us the ability to really expand the package of what we can do in the passing game. But we also are not going to be an air raid team and throw the ball 70 times a game. Coach Kavanaugh wouldn't be here if that was what we were going to do. So we're going to be balanced. We want to take shots. We want to be explosive. But it's going to be done. And in the end, it will always be done in the image of what the quarterback does best. And that's in the run game and in the pass game.
I was talking to Mike Riley over the weekend, one of your old guys. And he said, I said, have you seen Malik Murphy? And he said, you know, I met him. He said, Riley took his grandson out to the field to throw him some passes. And he went out to the field, and he encountered Malik Murphy and three of your receivers out there on their own, throwing balls, catching passes. And he said, I love when you see a QB who just calls up some receivers and gets guys out there. Do players still do that? Like, because I was under this impression that guys just kind of stayed within the structure anymore. But what does that mean to you when you get a guy who is out there trying to work with receivers maybe outside of practice time?
Yeah, and I would say that's certainly Malik. Like, he literally, when you guys called me, he was in my office watching practice. He's here all the time, and I know he's not always sitting in my office, but his backpack is usually in my office, so I know when he's around here. But that's not just a Malik thing. Like, that is a cultural thing at Oregon State that Coach Bray has done an unbelievable job. Like, these kids like to be around here. They like to be in the football offices, and they like to do more. If you just do what is asked of you, you know, if you just do what, you know, what is expected, your ceiling is only so high. You know, a lot of stuff is optional, but so is being elite and being a great football player. So we've got a great culture here of guys doing more and doing extra. They are always working. It's not just a practice thing around here. It's an all-the-time thing.
Coach Kavanaugh, coming back to Oregon State is another familiar piece for you. How does that help you to have get that kind of experience and familiarity in the room?
It's awesome. He's a guy that is, like, to me, the definition of low ego, high output. Like, guy just wants to develop tough, smart offensive linemen. And that is reflected in the way he teaches, the way he coaches, the way he drills them. And they'll be better for it. But especially with an offensive line coach, like, that experience is so valuable when you have it, because they've been through the wars and they know, if they're doing that, we just need to do this. Or, hey, okay, you want to run that protection. Well, this is the problem. You understand that. So if we're getting that, we need to not run that. There's just that the wealth of experience is different. And the confidence in kind of their own craft and what they believe in, you know, it really gives a structure for who you are and what you're going to do.
And is it true that you know, you had reached out to him? He's at Oregon as an analyst. And I think he says he got a text from you saying, we need to talk. Next thing you know, need to talk about him. Like, the possibility of him coming back and, you know, returning as an offensive line coach. And, you know, maybe, you know, the offense isn't quite the same, but there's some, you know, Mike Riley said to me, there's terminology. Like, these guys speak the same language, which is really helpful.
Yeah, there is. You've got a common ground there of, oh, that's just like what we used to do here with Mike. That's the same as this. I would say the language, like the way we call things, is different than what him and I have used together, or even, you know, what he may be used to most recently. But it's very similar stuff everywhere. You just kind of call it something different. The place where he's different is he's got his own language that they speak in that O-line room, and the calls, the techniques, that's that's specific to O-line coaches. Like, it would be a little probably out of line for me to walk in there and say, hey, I don't want you to call it a single, a double, and a triple. I want you to call it a, you know, a 1-2, and a 3. Like, that is a little bit different. But he was just, you know, there's a comfort with a guy like him, too, with Coach Bray and with Ide. Like, hey, we know we've got this spot. Like, call Cav. Like, get Cav up here as quick as you can. Mm-hmm. And I did. I remembered. I called him. I was at a, I think I was filling up car with gas and at the Safeway gas station, and he answered, and I think his response was, well, you know, I don't really have a resume. All right, well, go find somebody to help you with it. I don't work a computer too well either. Like, don't worry about it. We got guys that work a computer.
I love it.
So, hey, yeah. Let me ask you this. All right, so you grow up in Portland. You go to Oregon State to play. You know, did you think when you got into the program, I'm going to meet my wife here? I'm going to coach here one day. It has turned into your life. And for people who don't know, you know, when Mike Riley would come on the show back in the day, we would call Hillary, and Hillary was working in the football office, and you end up marrying Hillary. And so it's, and now you've got kids, and you know, your kids are Cameron and Cooper, I think. And it's, yep, it's become your life. Did you imagine that, you know, when you said, okay, Oregon State is the place for me, that this unfolds like this, the sliding doors movie, in a certain way that it becomes your entire existence after going off and coaching other places?
Yeah, it certainly has. You know, I'm sitting here looking out over the stadium, and it's really cool to see, you know, you take a snapshot of when I walked out here in 2003 to what this place looks like right now. Like, it's awesome, and it's a testament to this place and how much effort people have put into it. I think it also, for me, is more of like a, like, it does mean something to me. It's not just a job. I feel a responsibility. Like, this is important to me. It's more important than just playing football and competing. This is a big deal for this place, and I need to do everything I can to make sure I'm doing it right. But it is, and I think, you know, my son's getting to the point where he's old enough to realize, like, well, this is kind of cool. Like, this is where my dad went, and this is, it's important to him now, too. So we're really grateful, and you know, obviously people that have been to Corvallis and live in Corvallis know that this is a pretty special place to live and to be a part of the community, especially when it's, you know, 72 and sunny here right now. So,
amen.
Even better on days like this.
All right. I will see you at the stadium on Saturday. Scrimmage awesome. Saturday. Gates open at 11:30. They're stretching at noon. They're playing some football. Ryan Gunnarsson, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, I'll let you call the first play on Saturday if you want.
Yes.
You better have something good planned.
I'm going a little play action on play. I want to stretch the defense. I want to put it in everybody's mind that we could go down the field this year. So why don't we, little play action, balls in the air, deep.
You got it. We're chucking it vertical. Yep, no checkdowns.
There you go. No checkdowns. Right, I want John. The ball in the air. Let's see what Malik Murphy's got. All right. Thank you, man.
There you go. Appreciate it.
All right. All right. There it is. See, Steven? Calling plays now. Put it on the resume.
Hashtag no checkdowns. I like it.
I think you go vertical. Play action on play one, because you know why? Everybody in that stadium is going to be thinking, Oregon State identity, run the football. Slow starting. Here you go. Uh-uh. I want to go up top, and you send a message, even if it's incomplete. You send a message.
And you want some social media stuff? That'll get it on there. You know, complete a 50-yard pass down the field? That's going to get all over.
Play number one. And then let's just hope the defense is not listening to the show. That's all. All right. I want you to leave it here. You got the BFT statewide.